This is Can I Laugh on Your Shoulder? Hey, welcome to Can I Laugh on Your Shoulder? I'm Molly Stillman, and this is a podcast where I get to sit down each week with a different guest and have raw, funny, often brutally honest conversations about the things that matter most. Faith, business, life, and everything in between, where we each learn how to be good stewards of the things we've been entrusted with, even our stories, and how we can use those things to serve others and leave our families, our friendships, and our communities a little better than we found them. I want to create a space where people are unafraid to be themselves and unafraid to ask the questions the rest of us are thinking. My goal is to make you laugh, cry, and laugh till you cry. My guest this week is my good friend, incredible human being, and coach, Kim Butler. Kim is the lead coach and founder of The Whiteboard Room, where she walks alongside creatives, leaders, and companies to help them uncover their calling, develop purpose in daily life, and hurdle past fears and barriers to ultimately achieve their goals. She accomplishes this through one-on-one coaching, workshops, and speaking engagements. She's a Georgia native and an adventurer who loves Jesus to her core, her family, her friends. She loves writing poetry and Diet Dr. Pepper. She is on Instagram at The Whiteboard Room and at kim.d.butler. I love Kim. I just adore her. She has been actually my coach for 4 years now, and just what a joy and a gift that she is. You are going to love this conversation. We really dive into her process, and I mean, I share a little bit about working with her personally, but I really wanted to have her on to talk practically about what it looks like to set goals that are personal and professional, and what it looks like to actually walk those things out. I know that you are going to be encouraged and inspired. I also just want to say thank you so much for all of the encouraging messages and emails about the release of my first book, If I Don't Laugh, I'll Cry, How Death, Debt, and Comedy Led to a Life of Faith, Farming, and Forgetting What I Came Into This Room For. If you have not grabbed your copy, make sure you do so. You can buy it at any place online where you buy books, in person, at Barnes & Noble. I would love if you support your local indie bookstore. It just means the world to me. So thank you so much. I really, really, really do appreciate it. And I would just love to continue to hear from you about how the book is encouraging you, how it's making you laugh, cry, or laugh till you cry. But without further ado, on to my conversation with Kim Butler. This is such a fun day. I love when I get to have people on the podcast who are not just like wise and smart and funny and all of those things, but also my friends. So Kim, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here.
Thanks, Molly. I'm so excited to be here. This is so fun.
I'm so excited. We initially met through Mary Morant's mutual friend, colleague. And then I remember I came down to Atlanta back in like December of 2020 when the world was still like, are we open? Are we not?
We'll see.
And so we've known each other ever since. So it's been like almost 4 years now that we've known.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Which is pretty wild. And so anyway, I'm so excited for our listeners to get to know you. So let's just go ahead and kick it off with the Kim Butler 101. So tell us who you are, what you do, and how you got to where you are today.
Yeah, so I am the founder of The Whiteboard Room, which is a coaching company where I coach primarily creative entrepreneurs and business owners and leaders. I walk through a program that I call the Whiteboard Method, which is just a program around holistic goal setting and accountability. Yeah, I love what I do. I get to work with people like you who have amazing ideas and things that they want to put into the world and are looking to do good things. And so I love getting to walk alongside people and hold them accountable to their goals, but also help them through that process of just overcoming the obstacles, whether that's, you know, in our own minds of mindset and lies that we believe, or practical obstacles that are in front of us, like how the heck do you get a book published? And it's just, it's a lot of fun. So I've been doing that since 2014. I got started because I'd come off the mission field, and very long story for another day, but knew I wanted to pursue life coaching, but thought that was silly, to be honest, at the time. I was like, eh, that's not real. So I started consulting. I had a background in business, so I started doing some small business consulting. Ended up working with my best friend from high school, who her and her husband had started a photography company. Ended up as their business manager, which her husband, Philip, he had a lot of creative ideas and endeavors that he started to pursue. And so through that, met a lot of creatives in the Atlanta area. But while I was doing that, I had this passion project of mentoring, which is what I felt more comfortable calling life coaching at the time. And so I started, I wrote up a mentorship curriculum and just started doing it as a passion project. And as I started consulting with other small businesses in the Atlanta area, that was taking off. I decided to start a company with that and make that my career path. But this coaching / mentorship program was starting to take off. And over the course of about a year and a half, those two things merged. And I just realized there was a real need for a space of coaching and mentorship in specifically in the area of creative business owners and small business owners. Just it's a very isolating place a lot of time to be a leader, to be a business owner, to be doing something that is different. But those things, I think I just saw how much good it put into the world and how much good it was doing in the community. And I wanted to see those people succeed. And I wanted to succeed myself in the things that I was passionate about and doing, and just realize, like, man, you really need some cheerleaders. You need some people in your corner to believe in you, to help you in the areas that maybe you're not as strong in. A lot of people I worked with were visionaries and dreamers. And I sort of live in this both world of being a visionary and a dreamer, but being very put your feet on the ground, practical, like, what are we actually doing? And so helping those people come up with, you know, systems and processes and a practical plan and goals to move forward and grow, and not just let the ideas live in the dream phase, but to actually put, you know, tangible action around them and sustainability around them. And yeah, anyway, I could keep going on forever, but goal setting became this like linchpin that I started to see, wow, there's so much power in this very simple thing. And nobody does it. I mean, I was researching everything, and statistic after statistic was like, oh my gosh, this is like the simplest, most powerful thing people could do. But it's so simple, isn't easy. Simple often requires a lot of discipline. And that's where accountability comes in. Like, it's really hard to do that on your own. And a lot of people that I work with primarily are working by themselves, working on their own, or leading a team, and they need another voice in their corner. So,
well,
that's a little bit about me and what I do.
I love this. And there's a lot about the nitty gritty and the practical that I actually do want to get into in this conversation, but, because this is how I work and this is how I am, when people say like, but that's a story for another day. No, today is that day. So because I'm curious, I don't know this part Perfect. About you. So you say that you came off of the mission field.
Yeah.
Go on. Tell us more. What do you mean you came off of the mission field and then decided to start a coaching business?
All right. We're going to go straight into the faith side of this.
Yes, so, we are. Because this is how I work.
This is how we roll. This is how we roll. It's why I love working with you. Yeah. So I graduated college, went to, a desk job. Ugh. Hated it real fast. Was like begging God to get out of it, and had always been this person that was like, I have to do, my career has to be something that I am passionate about, something that makes a difference in the world. Like, I had a very narrow view of what made a difference. And I just found myself in a desk job that I didn't see purpose in. And as I started just asking the Lord about what He had for me and just begging Him for another opportunity to do something, He started opening my eyes to just some different things. One, that I needed to be faithful in the little, and that this desk job might feel little, but it had purpose. And if I wanted to be faithful in something that I felt was bigger, then I needed to be faithful and steward this moment in this season. And so I really started just digging into what purpose even was, you know? And I kind of came to this conclusion with the Lord of, our purpose is not in our circumstances, and it's not about a job title or a position that you're in. It is about how you, what you're doing it with that position and that platform. And I, you know, it's one of my things I tell a lot of people that I work with is, your platform is not your purpose. It is just the place that you get to live out your purpose. And we can't control our circumstances. Those things can change often sometimes, and often in places we don't want. And that doesn't take away the fact that we do have a purpose. And so I started just asking, okay, well, what is that then? And it came around this place of, okay, actually, like, what I want to do, despite the position I'm in or the job or role that I have, whether I like it or not, is that I want to inspire people to see the best in themselves and to believe in themselves to actually pursue that, right? Inspiring people to their potential for greatness. This sounds all fluffy, but that became a very meaningful statement to me that, that became like my initial mission statement for the Whiteboard Room. And I had no idea what the Whiteboard Room, it was not even on the radar.
Yeah.
But after a few years of being in that place of just being in this desk job, that I was like, all right, what does this look like right now? And at that time, it looked like turning to the person in the cubicle next to me and seeing them and encouraging them in their own dreams. And about, you know, year and a half, 2 years later, I found out about something called the World Race. And I could spend the whole hour telling this story.
I love this so much. I like, how did I not know this about you?
Because it's such a long story. So there are so many pieces. God is so cool, like how he weaves all these pieces together. But there was a lot of other stuff going on in my life. It didn't really feel like it made sense. But when I heard about this, it was like the Holy Spirit like lit something in me. And I was like, wait a minute. Which was different for me, because other part of that story is I was really pursuing like, God, what I see in the my life and in the church right now in America is not what I see in the Bible. And I don't know how to reconcile those things. And I have faith for you for so much more, but I don't see it. And so I was really wrestling with God through this, like, what does this really look like? And I want to experience more of you. And so when the World Race came up, I was like, oh, this feels like maybe something that, that is from you. And, but I took 2 weeks and I didn't say a word about it to anyone. And I had kind of committed in my spirit to just, okay, I'm just going to surrender this to the Lord and, see what happens. And so every time it would pop into my head, I would just be like, Lord, if you want this, make it clear. And I would like surrender it and actively not think about it. Like I would intentionally not think about it. And 2 weeks later, it just, it was like, you know, like if you ask for a sign from the clouds, it was as if that was happening, but in my brain, like it just came up so much in my own mind and heart. And so I was like, okay, I'll share this with my mentor and ask her to pray about it. And so prayed about it. And then I had this moment in the shower of revelation, right? 2 weeks later. So I'd spent 2 weeks praying alone, 2 weeks praying with a mentor. And at that point, taking a shower, where all, like I said, all good revelations happen. I reflected back on something that had happened a year and a half before, which was I showed up to this Bible study with my cousin. Wasn't my Bible study. I drove her there because she couldn't drive at the time. And I was not a person who would speak out in a group that was not my group, but they were talking through Matthew, where it says, leave the dead, follow me, sell your possessions, follow me, blah, blah, blah. And I had a lot to say. And I said a lot. And I left that, and that verse, sell your possessions and follow me, stuck with me. And so fast forward, I'm in the shower after 4 weeks of praying through this World Race random idea that just popped out of the blue somewhere. And the Lord spoke to me and was like, sell your possessions and follow me. And I want you to do this. So I did. I sold most of my stuff. I raised money over the next year. And went on the World Race in 2011. It's an 11-month trip to 11 countries, partnering with different missions organizations in each country that the larger organization is constantly supplying volunteers to. I thought that God was going to speak to me about some grand calling on my life that I should move to Bolivia, you know, something.
Yeah.
Again, going back to that place of, I had this small idea of what purpose was and what that could look like in my own life. And when I came back from the mission field, throughout those 11 months, I kept asking God, like, what's next? What's next? Because I was 25, turned 26 on the race, came home to like no insurance and a savings account that I knew was going to hit its limit. And so I was like, we have a real time limit, God. Like, what am I doing? We applying to some other kind of school? Like, and he said nothing. He just kept saying, just wait. And I'm like, oh, geez, okay. I'm going to trust you. And so get to the end and I have no idea. God has spoken nothing of clarity to me about my future. And so I had planned this personal like debrief trip after I got home. And God was so silent. Like, it was just a season of real silence. And I was 2 days from going home I was in Seattle on my personal debrief trip. I was flying home, going to speak at my church, and I had nothing on my calendar after. Like, nothing. No jobs. No prospects. No, a blank future ahead. And I was brushing my teeth about a day before I was going to go home. And it was like I heard God say life coach, like to the point that I was like looking around, you know, like you haven't spoken in so long and now you're going to say one word and it's this.
Well, I was going to ask because I feel like we've all had those periods and those times when we just feel like God is silent. And what do you do in that silence? So I guess like before you actually heard the words life coach, what did you do in the silence?
Not much. I just kept going back. Yeah. Like, I kept going back. I feel really blessed. Like, I grew up in a really incredible community that was really supportive. So I always knew that, like, I never worried that I was going to be provided for, or like, I knew that God would provide. I knew He would make a way. I knew it was uncomfortable at the time. And I didn't like it, but I really just held on to this like promise from the Lord, like from scripture, that He would provide. And it might not look like what I wanted it to look like. And I told Him, I was like, if you don't tell me what to do, I've got 7 backup plans, you know, like there was action, there were things to do, you know, I fell in love with being in the hospital environment on the mission field. And so I was like, I'll just go get a nursing license and pursue that. But if you want me to do something else, you know how long we've got. So you can talk. So honestly, in the waiting, it was just going back and being honest about the frustration of that with the people in my community and really trusting that God was with me even when I didn't feel it. And trusting that He had a plan even when I didn't know it. And I didn't always live out that, you know, fully. But I just kept going back and asking Him and being a daughter, I guess, like, and sitting in that place of like, God, my life, my pastor says this thing, success for the Christian is obedience to Jesus. And that is how I want to live my life. It is, you know, like my life may look foolish to a lot of people. Like the choices I make might look real crazy to the world. And the fact that I was 26 and jobless and had to move home with my parents, like that looked crazy, but I was just waiting on the Lord. And I just knew that God had said, wait on me. And so I was just moving in this place of, God, you said, wait on you. So that means that I'm waiting on something. And so I'm going to sit in the moment of obedience. Like, that's the last thing you said to me. And so that's the obedience that I have right now. I think that's something that has stuck with me, you know, even now, like, God, I will be obedient to the last thing that you said to me. Like, if you don't say anything else, like, there's this book called, A Glorious Dark by AJ Swoboda. And in it, he talks about like there are people who are Friday Christians and Sunday Christians, but nobody wants to be a Saturday Christian. That there are people who are like, I will be the martyr for the Lord. I will go pick up my cross. And there are people who are like, resurrection all the time. Like, let's go. It's, you know, here for it.
Right.
Neither of those things are bad things, but we tend to fall on one end of the spectrum. Right. But actually, the faithful Christian life, we go through seasons of all three of the days of Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And Saturday, God is silent. Saturday, we are waiting. Saturday, we know that God made a promise, but we haven't seen it. And our human minds do not understand how that promise is going to come true based on these current circumstances.
Right.
And so I found myself in a few Saturday seasons in my life. But yeah, in those moments of silence, it's I always go back to that place of, okay, God, was the last thing you said to me, like, I want to be a Mary who's like, well, he said he was going to come back, so I'm going to go wait at the tomb. You know, like, I'm just going to go.
Yeah.
And so he said, wait, so I'm just going to wait. And there's still food on my plate right now. So I guess it's not time to stop waiting. Right.
Yeah.
And I think there's wisdom in like, all right, at some point you just got to pick up the odd. And I did, like when he said life coach in that moment in the bathroom, brushing my teeth, I was like, A, what? Woo woo. Right. What in the world? And B, like, how am I going to make money doing that? So, and then I, you know, Google it, look it up. And at the time it was like $10,000 to get certified. It's a fairly new field. Like, I was like, I don't have $10,000. I had made a commitment in my life before that to never go into debt again. So I was like, all right, God, if you want this, you can provide the money or provide another way. In the meantime, I'm going to start getting jobs. So you just, that's where I'm at. So I started picking up jobs. I contracted contract where I substitute taught. I cleaned houses. I did anything and everything to like keep moving forward and also start pursuing this like idea and like sitting with that thing that the Lord had said. And it took a minute, but that's what led me to working with a photography company, which led me to working with all these other creative entrepreneurs, which led me and then all in that time is what led me to that passion project of starting a mentorship program. And, you know, I don't know, three years after that word was spoken is when I came home in 2012 and I launched the Whiteboard Room in 2014. So it took 2 years. But yeah, in that season, just held on to the last thing God said, trusting his promises personally to me and just from scripture, and just kept going back. I just kept going back.
Well, I think that, I mean, you telling that whole story, like that was for somebody, like it just, and not to be like, that was for somebody, Kim. but it really was because I think that there's so many people, like, you know, I get to hear from listeners of the podcast via email or, you know, people reach out on, you know, social media and like, this is something I have heard regularly of just like, I feel like I'm in a season of, I can't hear from God, or like God said this like promise or whatever, like, you know, not like that we are hearing this audible voice of God, but just like, it's that you just know that, you know, that it's from God, and then there's confirmations. And then, but then sometimes like that happens and then it's just like, wait a second, but how long is this going to take, you know, or when am I going to hear from you, or what, you know, what is it going to look like? And so that patience, that perseverance, is so key. And, well, I think that, I mean, it's going to feel like we're taking a left turn here, but I think that all leads up to, you know, once you did say yes and you began to develop your framework. Here's where I do want to get into the nitty gritty, because I think it's helpful for people to understand. And so you know, like you shared, you kind of developed your own methodology. That's why you called yourself the Whiteboard Room. And so I would love for you to kind of share one, like how you developed it, and then also like what is it? What does it look like for somebody who might be totally in the dark? And it's like, you're like, explain this to me like I'm five.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So how it happened was another story.
What happened was,
so I was starting this passion project. I was like, I'm just going to mentor somebody to like, cause this is what I really want to do, but I don't see how I'm going to make money with this. So I had been really lucky, blessed, whatever word you want to call it, to have mentors in my life that had helped me really come around this place of self-awareness. And even then, just in that season of when I was really wrestling with the Lord and in that cubicle job and developing that language of what is my purpose if my purpose isn't a role. I don't know what I'm called to if I'm not called to a job or a role or a title or a something. And so, but when I had that clarity, it really like helped so much for me, like just with peace in my own decision making and how do I move forward when I, to go back to our conversation, like don't know what the Lord is saying. And so I honestly sat in my room, and at the time my room had these sliding mirror doors as closet doors, and I took a whiteboard marker and I just started throwing everything out on that, those whiteboard mirror door walls.
Yeah.
And I mapped it out. I was like, okay, what did it look like for me to get to this place where I have, I'm confident in my own personal mission and vision for my life, because I want to help other people get to that place.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I think everybody always has that. So really, I'm not helping them have it. I'm helping them uncover it and put language around it.
Okay.
So if that's the goal, is to, you know, in the beginning, that was the sort of finale, was like getting that. And then that would lead to, okay, goal setting. But I just kind of reverse engineered it of, okay, how did I get there? And what did all of these mentors in my life, whether that was mentors personally or mentors through books or, you know, professors in college, whatever it was, I kind of just was like, all right, what is it all? And that's what I did.
Right.
And I just started mapping it out of going, okay, how do you understand that? And it kind of came around this philosophy of, to know where you're going and who you want to be, right? You have to know where you've been and who you are.
Right.
So I've framed it out in this, like, all right, let's walk through, how do you walk through someone's story? And not just walk through their story, but help them see how there are themes and pieces and ways that they see their story that matter and that are speaking to something deeper in their heart. And who are you? You know, like, I think some personality assessments, although I do not subscribe to any particular one and think they all have pros and cons, they're helpful guides. And so, you know, okay, let me have all of these pieces. So I have my clients, we go through their story in great detail. And then we go through multiple personality assessments and different types of tests, not even personality assessments, but just what their fears are, all these different things. And then I help them through that, do a mission statement, some exercises to help develop and get language around mission statement, around vision statement. And then, once that is solidified, and that was sort of the crux of the original mentorship program, was like, all right, let's go through your story. Let's uncover the lies, start reframing. Okay, what's actually true? Because at the end of the day, that's what it is. We're believing lies. We got to cut them off and start believing the truth. We got to see who we really are, and we have to be confident in, ultimately who we are and who we want to be. And then from there it was, okay, because I'm a practical person. So I was like, well, that's too up in the air. That's too high clouds. Where does that come into practicality? Cause nice to quote, inspire someone to their potential. How do you know if you're doing that? Right. And so then it came to this place of, all right, what are your long-term goals? How do you actually set goals in a way that doesn't just look at, and this is part of what I do, it's a little bit different, I guess, is I don't just want to talk about your career goals, and that, like, I didn't just want to talk about that you wanted to write a book, right? I was like, all right, but what about your family? What about your marriage? What about your finances? Like all of these other places, because what the thing that you're going to do matters far less than the like substance of your whole life, and that you are living in alignment with that mission and vision, which has this place of like calling on your life. And what are you doing in alignment with that to align the things that are actually most important to you? Because I've never sat across from a single client, a single person has, no one has ever told me that their money, their career, or their physical like body weight were the most important things to them. But those are the only three things I've ever found any research on. And so, but nobody teaches you how to set goals in your relationships, because that's, how do you do that?
Right. It just feels you're only ethereal or almost.
Yes. And you can't control another person.
Right.
So what's that about? You know, like, so really walking people through, okay, how do you actually set goals holistically for your life, pursue them in alignment with who you are, and create what I call the filtering system, which is breaking things down so that you can look at and say, okay, this decision is in alignment with my goals, which I've intentionally set in alignment with my values and my mission and my vision, and ultimately with an honest picture of who I am. Yep. So I did it on a giant whiteboard. And when I was thinking, what am I going to call this thing? That's what I came back to was, it was this, I asked myself this question. I said, if this is successful and all my dreams come true, then what would this look like physically? What do I see? And I was like, I would just love a giant room full of whiteboards where people could just throw things out freely, that nothing is permanent on a whiteboard. That's why I love them. You throw it out there. If it's wrong, you just erase it. You just move it to another place. It's not pen and ink. If I write something in pen, it's like the few things I put down in pen, right? Because once it's there, it's there. So just this play, I wanted this place that people could be free to throw things out there, to be wrong, to reorder, to put the puzzle together. That's kind of how I see my job. I put puzzles together. I help people see what are your edge pieces? What are the pillars holding those four corners down? And what are the pieces and the strings that we're starting to see the themes through, that we're starting to see the picture form? And it's not all the way formed, and there's still a lot of things going on and that are going to happen and unfold. Yeah. But what are the threads that we start to see? And when we start to see that, it gives so much clarity, and it doesn't change. Like, it doesn't magically change. Now all of this stuff is possible. Like, no, you always had the potential you have. You always had the calling you have. You always were the person that you are. But when you see it, and when you can say, oh, and have a language around it, it just gives this place of freedom to move forward in it confidently. So yeah, that's a very long answer to your question.
No, but I love it, because I think again, it helps people not just visually understand what you're referring to, but also conceptually understand what you're referring to and why it's different and why it works. Well, I would love for you to give maybe an example or a story, just something to share that kind of shows like start to finish, not to finish, start to, because we're never finished. Although somebody shared this with me the other day and I was like, I think I might steal that in Jesus' name. Because I think it applies in so many ways. But Ruth Graham, the wife of Billy Graham, apparently on her headstone, I haven't like actually cross-referenced this, but this is like what I've been told now by a couple people, that on her headstone, where she's buried, is it says, construction complete. Thank you for your patience. And
so good.
I love that so much, is like that our whole lives, we are a work in progress, and we will never arrive until we are at the feet of Jesus. And like, that's when our construction is complete and we are complete in him. And I just love that so much. So with that being said, like, we will never arrive, like we will never be complete. You know, we might achieve a goal, but it's always in progress. So anyway, all that to say is like, can you share a story or an example of like where you worked with somebody, like kind of start to finish, or just how you help somebody develop, you know, especially for somebody listening who's maybe in that space of like, this is something I really want to do, whether it's whatever the goal is, like how you kind of work with them through that process.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Two stories. One, I had a client. I work with my clients pretty long term. It's not uncommon for me to work with someone for 4, 5, 6 years. So, because like you said, it's a process. I am no 7 steps to anywhere coach. So there's no quick fixes with me. But I had one client. She's still a client. I've been working with her for the last 4 or 5 years. And when she came to me, she's a business owner, had one team member. She really had a lot of passion to grow her business and had a lot of ideas, but she came to me and she said, Kim, I feel crazy, like actually crazy. And I don't want to feel crazy anymore. And I was like, okay, well, let's have a conversation first. Find out if this is therapy or coaching. But we talked and I was like, okay, you're not crazy. You just have too many things going on and you have not delegated. enough and you want to grow, but you have a lot of fear around some things. And that fear is keeping you from doing what you need to do to grow. And that's what's making you feel crazy and disorganized and all this stuff. So the first year I worked with her, we just honestly didn't talk about the fact that she felt crazy for almost any session. First couple sessions, like the first, I have like an initial 4-hour intensive. We go through everything with clients. But then after that, it's just regular, like 1 hour every month. Check in, accountability. Let's make a plan to move forward. And like I said, we didn't really talk about the fact that she felt crazy. We just started to actually define her goals, actually create a plan to grow and be sustainable and own what it was going to cost to achieve those goals and move forward. And 1 year later, she was like, Kim, I don't know what happened, but I don't feel crazy anymore. And almost probably once a quarter now that I'm still working with her, she's like, remember when I felt crazy? I still don't feel crazy. And it's the it's the greatest thing. And I love hearing that. And she's accomplished goals. She's grown her team. She has grown her business. She has diversified. Like, she's done all of these things. But to me, the win is she doesn't feel crazy anymore. And she's starting to move out of the place of fear to make decisions. And then, I mean, we're here with you, so we have to tell your story a little bit.
Well, I'd be interested for you to share it from your perspective.
From my perspective? Gosh, I should have looked at all of my notes before I came. I remember I met you and you had such clarity on what you wanted, but you're like, but how do we do this? And where do we find these people and all this stuff? And honestly, like I think I told you up front, I was like, listen, like book publishing is not necessarily my like super expertise. I know some stuff and I've worked with clients who have gotten books published and like you're in whatever, you can do this. but yeah, I just remember being like, okay, like you just need some, like, a friend in your corner who's helping you make a plan to strategically pursue this in a way that's actually going to steward. And that was a big thing, like, to steward what God had put in your heart to do.
Yeah.
Because, like, when you showed up in Atlanta, it wasn't, I have no idea what to do with my life and I don't know what I'm going to do with any of this. I was like, I feel called to write a book.
Yeah.
And that's a hard thing. It's an incredibly difficult thing to do. It's a very incredibly difficult thing to get published. And so it was just this place of like, all right, like let's start moving forward. Let's take the next right step. Right. And what did that look like? And I think the first year, the goal was proposal, get the proposal done. And it was just, we mapped it out. Like, all right, these are the steps. You have to get a proposal. You have to get an agent. Once we have that locked down, we can take the next step. But I find that with a lot of people, it's really hard to, because we see what we want the end to be. And it's hard. Those milestones are hard because one, it's difficult because there's a lot of, for every person, there's fear around, what if this doesn't happen? And it's easier if I don't try. And if I don't take this first step, and you can tell me if I'm wrong. I think you had like had her book publishing punchline.
So book. That came out in June of 2021.
Okay.
So you and I started working together in December of 2020. And like, I had been working on my proposal and then it was just like, and even you were like, Molly, like, get this done. And I was like, I'm struggling. Like, I just
do it.
You're like, just do it. And then Joy's book came out and you were like,
yes.
Okay. Here's your sign.
Yeah. This is it. Do it. But before that, I think you had like tried to start on and you just had like never been able to get over that hurdle.
Yeah. I had like bits and pieces of it and it was just a hot mess express.
Yeah. And, but you know, it's so funny because so many people think that their stuff is a hot mess express, to use your word. Like, and it's often it's like, actually, you're doing pretty good. Like, you just need somebody else to tell you it's okay, you know, and be like, just do it. Just write the dumb proposal. Right. It's going to be fine. It doesn't have to be perfect. And to have that, like, yeah, I think it was always, honestly really fun. Like, this whole journey with you has been really fun because from the beginning, it was just really clear, like, this wasn't ever something that you, and you didn't, she didn't ask me to say this, everybody. Like, Molly never wanted this to be like the Molly show. She was always like, I know that I'm supposed to do this. And I know that it is this place of obedience for me to do this. But all I want is to make Jesus known. Mm-hmm. Like, all I want is to make Jesus known. And that's a really hard place to, and you know, when your faith is in that space and when you live in America, in the world where to do it, you kind of, especially to get published, like, it's hard to do without a social media presence. And not that God doesn't do things in other ways. That's not what I'm saying, but there are these aspects to it. And when you're like, I just want to give my life for the, for whatever the Lord wants. And we have this idea of, like, you know, going into our closet for that and like, how do I put myself out there?
Right.
And honor what the Lord is asking me to do and lay my life down also. And so I think just, it's been so fun in this process because your heart has stayed so pure in all of it of just like, it's never about you. It's a memoir, right? Like, all, you have every right to make it about you and you never do. And like, it, the whole thing is, and I'm excited for people to read it. I haven't read the whole thing, but I read the last chapter and just, I'm like, oh man, when people get to this last chapter, it's just so good. And to see, like, the, again, the faithfulness of God to put this thing in your heart. It's like, God, I have no idea how that's going to happen. I've tried. I don't know. And then for Joy to write this book, like, 6 months after you had been really starting to try and just kind of sitting down and being like, I don't know. And for, I think you did it in like 60 days with her book or something. It was
less
like
than that.
Crazy. And then for him to line up the things that he's lined up since for you to work with Joy and get the publishing, you know, deal that you got, like, all of it is just such a, testament to God, but also your stewardship of what he has entrusted you with and the dream that he put in your heart for this. And I'm really excited for it. But it's just been cool to see that is kind of a start to finish story now.
Well, I know that you didn't tell me you were going to say that, but for everybody listening, I definitely paid you $20 to say all that. I'm just kidding. And this, by the time this airs, my book will already be out. So you will have, like, read it at that point, in theory. But
I for sure will.
But yes, I mean, I think that that's, you're right. I think that, and the accountability piece has been because, like, and for, I think it's been helpful for me too, like, knowing my personality type and all that stuff. Like, I don't like to let people down. So the accountability,
it's very helpful.
Yeah. And I think, you know, no matter what kind of personality type you have, like, even if I think about somebody like my husband who, like, it's not that he doesn't want to let people down. It's just like, that's not a motivating factor for him. Like, his is like, he loves, like, he, my husband's a person who maps out his entire day in like 15 minute increments. Like, he's like very organized, like checking the box, like doing the things. And so accountability for him, like, he is motivated by that. Whereas, like, my accountability is almost just motivated by, I don't want to let you down. I don't want you to be like, Molly, what are you doing with your life? Like, you're slacking.
Did you not do it?
I know. Again? You're like, did you
nobody not wants to, I swear, nobody wants to come to meetings with me and tell me, they paid me money to sit in front of me, right? So nobody wants to come and pay a person money and sit in front of them and be like, yeah, I didn't do it.
Like, I didn't do it.
Nobody wants to do that.
Nobody wants to do it. So there's like, there's a couple accountability factors there that is helpful.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think again, that holistic approach is really important and just helping. And like, there have been times where even you and I have sat down to meetings and I'm like, I am out of ideas. I was like, my brain has thought the thoughts.
and I am out of it and I need you to help me.
Like, give me the ideas.
I need you to help me. And sometimes you're like, I don't have any ideas either. And I was like, well, maybe the two of us with our lack of ideas will come together and have some ideas.
We usually get some good ones.
We usually get somewhere, but yeah, but just having another person that is like a, like I tell my husband too, is like, you're like this unbiased, biased third party. Who's like, you're separated enough from it where like you're biased 'cause you know me, but like you're unbiased because you're not directly in, like you're not in it yourself. You're just this person who's like, I mean, that's what coaches do. Like you're biased because you're rooting for your team, but you're also on the sidelines or on the bench going, what are you doing over here?
Yeah.
You know, so it helps to have that person there that like to use your words, like in your corner. Well, man, here we are. Like we're like already, we've basically run out of time.
Amazing.
I'm so grateful for you and for people that are just interested in learning more about your methodology or just have questions for you, or maybe they're interested in working with you or whatever. How do they best connect with you?
Listen, I'm a simple girl. You can just shoot me an email through my website, thewhiteboardroom.com, DM me on Instagram at thewhiteboardroom or at kim.d.butler. Either one is fine. Yeah, I'm simple. I'll send you an email back. I'm the most responsive person maybe that's ever lived.
You really are. And as you know, that is an area of growth for me where you're like, how's your email inbox looking, Molly? And I'm like, I have emails from like October that I haven't responded to yet. So not great. But look, there are some areas of my life that I do really well, but I am excellent at replying to an email and going, so sorry for the delay and replying to
professional. Put it on the resume.
I'm so sorry for the delay in replying to this. I know you sent me this email 3 months ago. So anyone, I tell people this too. Like, I'm like, if you ever email me, like, don't feel bad if I just don't reply to you. It's look. We cannot all be Kim Butlers, okay?
To be fair, I'm sure I don't get nearly as many emails.
Oh, I'm sure
as
it'd be
you.
Fine. Or it'd be fine. Okay, well, Kim, thank you for being here. Thank you
thanks for having me. This is fun.
So fun. It's the best way to spend my day.
Me too. Hey guys, you should go get Molly's book if you haven't already.
I know you should because
I don't know what you're doing
when this airs. It's out now.
It's out. Run, don't walk.
Thanks, Kim. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. I hope you loved it. I would love to know what you learned or if there was something that inspired you or encouraged you. Please let us know on social media. You can find me at Still Being Molly or at Can I Laugh Pod, wherever you get your podcasts. And take a moment to leave a review of the show because it really does help us to know what you're liking and how the show is impacting you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for your support. And thank you to the team at Third Wheel Media for producing the show and for all that they do. Grace and Molly, shout out to you both because I don't know what I would do without you. Love you guys. We'll see you next week. I hope something this week makes you laugh till you cry. Bye.